WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for taking the time to join us here today in the 30 minutes of that time, whether it's 6:30 in the morning here on WMIE or WWBC 100.7 FM South Brevard County, 94.7 here Central, 99.9, and then as well, of course, on 91.5 WMIE. Thanks for taking the time to join us here today. You're going to hear now, here today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday, the last sermon from this series through 2 Peter. It'll be an interesting sermon. About a third of the way through it, I was trashing the devil here in this sermon, and my glasses exploded off of my nose, and they broke, spring-loaded, and one of the lenses went flying behind me on the pulpit, and I had to do the rest of my sermon blind. And it was interesting, but to God be the glory. It was all, obviously, all by him to be able to go through that without being able to see, because I'm the kind of person that has my sermon written out usually, you know, and some people can do it without writing, and I'm not one of those. So to God be the glory, though. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. What are we going to look at? We're going to look at climate change, the mother of all climate changes, where Peter says the earth will melt with fervent heat. And we'll get some more instructions on living, on where do you want to be found. Paul was concerned with the same thing. Paul said he wanted to be found in him, that is, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, he says, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ. Massive question as we head into this program now today. Where do you want to be found when Jesus comes back? It certainly was on the mind of the apostles. How about you? All right, here's part one of this message now. I think I've called this The Word of God Prevails. Have a wonderful day. Again, let me remind you, there's no Wednesday night Bible study at Island now for the next month or so or 6 weeks. We're going to take a couple weeks off here in the summer. We'll be back again after Labor Day with the book of Romans. Until then, hey, enjoy today's sermon. Again, this will play today and tomorrow. Then we'll be back with our series in the book of Revelation. Have a wonderful day and God bless. I forget how many years ago now. I've been here almost 9. Probably 7 years ago, God sent Darren, Solana, and Sharon here. And I was trying to do everything myself. And he just came up and said to me, Lord, he says, what can I do to help you? Anything you need me to do, you just say the word. And I said, all right, how about the music? How about Sunday school? And he started the next week, and we've never looked back 8 years later. And I just want to let everyone know how much I love that man, how I would not have survived if it weren't for him. I wouldn't have quit. I just would have dropped dead from exhaustion, from trying to do everything myself. And there's never been a better associate pastor on God's green earth than Darren Solana. And I'm just so grateful for him. And that's what I meant by the elephant in the room. It's just so naked without him and his wife as well. And we know they're heading back from Ocala up in Horse Country and be back again next week. So does everyone have a handout for today? If you need one, I don't need one, but it looks like I don't have one. But if you need one, raise your hand. Me and Brent were trying to solve the world's questions this week, looking at the world out of water and in the water. We'll leave that for another day. We're wrapping up this short book here this morning, though. And I hate to say goodbye to Peter. A lot of Christians, me included, can relate to Peter. Rugged fisherman, former sinner to the core, at least he used to be, speaks what he means. He is bold and pulls no punches. And he's reckless. And actually, that's the attribute that I like the most in him. Reckless. He's like a bull in a china shop. Listen to him and what he says when you read in the Gospels. He says, I don't care if all of you people betray Jesus. I never will. I mean, that's reckless. Peter would say, I don't care if all of you, as he says, is it I? You all can ask, is it I? But Peter will say, it's not me. I would never do that, Peter says. And Peter speaks from the heart. Then with Peter and I, we can say, we have been forgiven of much. You know, people in the Bible, maybe you hear or read about them, you know, people like, and bless his heart, people like John MacArthur, who come to Christ when they're like 9 months old. And then there's people like Peter, or me, or perhaps you, that weren't quite ready at 9 months. Maybe some of you, it took even till you were a year old. But for those reasons, I can relate to Peter. You see, the scholarly part in me now relates to Paul, and that's my favorite. But the way I've lived my life, I can really relate to Peter. How God could use somebody like that, even though he was such a flagrant sinner in his life, relates to me. If God could use him, he could even use me. And believe you me, if God could use me, he could even use you. Now let's see where this fisherman is going to take us today as we wrap up his last letter to the church. We're in 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. And don't people do that very same thing today? The Lord says, behold, I'm coming quickly. And here we are 2,000 years later, still waiting. And the scoffers say, well, first of all, you got to see, this is prophetic. Certainly, they weren't saying that then. Back in the day when he wrote this, they weren't making this complaint 5 years later. This is prophetic, pointing to our time. That's why it says scoffers will come, that's future, in the last days. And they're still living a lifestyle of sin. Let me say, still living in sin because Jesus hasn't come back yet like they expected. I'm not going to read it. I don't have time, but I added to the handout Matthew 24:48. You'll see it on handwritten on there. Because Jesus warned about this very thing when he gave a discourse of how things are going to be when he comes back, it says your people are going to go back to doing what they were before because Jesus didn't come back when they expected him to. Let me ask the question. If you knew that Jesus was coming back in your lifetime, what, if anything, would you do different? Right? Honestly, you shouldn't do anything different. You ought to be already doing it right now. You shouldn't have to change. Well, these guys didn't think he would return in their lifetime, so they went back to, like we read last week, a dog returning to its own vomit. After September 11th, 2001, the churches across America were packed. And now the sow has gone back to wallowing in the mire. Because Jesus didn't come back when you expected him to. So these guys declare, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep or back in the last generation, all things continue just as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So, by the way, have you noticed Peter's preoccupation with Noah? This is the third time now he's brought up Noah. Why is he so preoccupied with Noah? The first one is 1 Peter 3:18. It says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and preached to the spirits that are in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. And the second time, 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in a chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and if he did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, here he goes again with Noah. Why Noah? When was the last time you heard Paul talk about Noah? Or James? He has this in his mind. Let me go on. And he did not spare the ancient world, but he saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Do you notice a pattern here? Do you see how Peter ties Noah to the end of the world? This is because history repeats itself. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Solomon wrote, there's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is that which will be. There is nothing new under the sun. Let's add what Jesus said. You see, because Peter stumbled onto something, and I finally get it, and I'm sharing it with you. Peter is tying in what happened to Noah and in the days of Noah with when Jesus is coming back. Now let's see what the Son of God says about it. Matthew 24, verse 37. Oh, what do you know? Jesus agrees. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the Son of Man be. Remember, Peter's linking these two. Remember that as we go on. He's linking Noah to the end of the world. Noah, what happened to Noah with what's going to happen at the end of the world? Verse 38, Matthew 24, 38. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. Then verse 39, it says, and they did not know. So catch the condition of the world then and now.
When the flood came, they did not know. They were oblivious to the judgment of God, same as they are today. Same as they are today. When you want to blame a flood that's wiping out a country sign on a political party, oh man, you better open your eyes. Don't blame that on a political party. You bet your sweet bippy climate change is real. We're going to see more about it here coming up. They did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Now he's going to tie that to us. He says, so also will it be. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is where we're at here today, church. With all the signs of Jesus' return all around us, you and I are living in the days of Noah again. Remember, history repeats itself, like I said. Now, if you read the Gospel of Luke, Jesus throws in one little tidbit that's not in any of the other Gospels. He says, not only Noah, but he says, just like it was in the days of Lot, so you'll know that my return is near. What happened in the days of Lot? Rampant homosexuality, taking over the land. And cut it out, Facebook. I got my own app. That ain't getting cut out of there. Truth is truth. Wow. No, he didn't, did he? Lord, we pray. You give me the eyes to see what I need to see here today now. Help me to read through this sermon. You've helped me prepare all week. To you be the glory. Continue to speak here this morning to this church and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wow. The great preacher, Dr. Criswell, wrote about the days of Noah. He said the people in that day were so busy with their everyday matters that they were oblivious to the signs of the times, and they were oblivious to the coming judgment of God. All right, so what's next, Lord, in your revelation about the days of Noah? Verse 40. On where we're at here today. Peter has spent everything that he's written letting you know that when it was in Noah's time, so it will be when Jesus comes back. Jesus has done the same thing. Now Jesus says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. The word taken is the word paralambano, means to be received near. The word left is the Greek word for a divorce. Aphiemi means to be left behind or abandoned or a divorce certificate. Which group are you in here this morning? I can tell you if you'd like. Let me look at your Facebook page and I can tell you. Are you looking for his return? How's your KRA doing this morning? That is your kingdom retirement account. Church, the days of Noah are upon us as the Lord continues. You know, I love looking at people's Facebook accounts. Some people I know, who can I single out here today? How about Robin? I get so encouraged when I read her Facebook every day. And so many other women, too. You're such uplifting. You lift people up every day with something encouraging in this dark and evil world. That's what people need. They need to be lifted up and inspired before they leave their house today. Let them know someone loves them. Let them know God loves them. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Let's go back to what Jesus said, verse 42. He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay, let's go down here to verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't even know where that went to. Peter says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is at a day." All right, now that's a simile. Notice the words "as," or sometimes you see the word "like." Meaning, this is not a guarantee or a doctrine. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a great promise that is. The Lord is not slack, or the word means slow. He's not slow. You don't have to talk him into having mercy on us, because God loves you. Amen. He is long-suffering. He's long-suffering with me. He's long-suffering with you. His desire is for people to turn from their wicked ways and to repent of their sins and to call on the name of the Lord. The long-suffering is the word macro. Thumia. Macro means long. Thumos means wrath or anger or even heat, like a thermos or thermostat. In Esposito vernacular, it takes them a long time to get sore. Aren't you grateful for that? He doesn't give up like we do. He's long-suffering. Now in verse 10, more prophetic teaching. The New King James heading is "The Day of the Lord."
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
I told you a long time ago about a bear hunter who was out hunting, a big game hunter, and he wanted a bear because he wanted a fur coat made out of bear skin so badly. Finally, he saw his bear, he took aim, and was about to squeeze the trigger when the bear said, "Now, wait a minute, don't shoot me. Let's go out here in the middle of the road and sit down and talk this thing over." Now, he said, "Be reasonable. After all you want is a fur coat, and all I want is a good meal." And they had a talk, and when it was over, the bear had a good meal and the man had a fur coat. Do you know one of the dangers of any successful work? When a church or a work for God becomes successful in the eyes of the world, and the world can no longer whip it, then the world tries to join it. At first, the world will try to stamp us out. And if the world cannot stamp us out, then the world will try to neutralize us by entangling alliances. They will try to distract us from the main work that God has called us to do.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I am with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you, raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. I lift my eyes into the help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.